There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Hello and welcome to today's WCN TV program. We are live, and this is Tuesday, August 27th, 2024. Well, it seems like Bible prophecy is in the news every day lately. We have this from 2 Timothy 3. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It's quite a list. Later in that chapter, we have, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, obviously, all these things were nothing new when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, and there's nothing new under the sun, but it sure reads like today's news headlines, doesn't it? Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Perilous times are upon us, folks, and truth hasn't just fallen in the streets. It's been pushed under a bus. With us today is one of our favorite teachers of the Word, Jamie Walden. He's going to be helping us decipher what we're seeing on the world stage and better understand where we're likely at in the timeline of the last days. So, Jamie, welcome to the show. And how are things in Colorado these days?
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Rob. It's always a pleasure to be on with you and WCN. And I miss being able to get out there and meet with you guys in person and speak at the different events and stuff like that. But the Lord sequestered us in Southwest Colorado. So they're doing good out here. I actually was just scrambling as fast as I could to get in here in front of the computer. I had to run out and do a little video shoot for another brother in the church's outdoor adventure brand that he's built up called Sofreneo. And so I was rappelling a waterfall and stuff about 45 minutes ago before I was like, I got to get home for my interview. So we're always pushing hard in the mountain. And it's interesting. Even
that sounds like a lot more fun than this.
Yeah, but I'm always like, go, go, go. I'm always under the gun time-wise. You know, I'm like, we got to go get the shots. Got to go get the shots. I'll set up the rappel and do all this stuff. But yeah, it's interesting even thinking about that, his brand name being Sofreneo. And Sofreneo is actually, it's from the Greek, and it's something I wrote about extensively in the book the Lord had me write, Omega Dynamics, because Sofreneo is the very specific word that the Lord has stated that he specifically gives us. He says he has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, as some translations read. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sophroneo. That word sophroneo in the Greek means a sound mind. And what it's speaking to is a mind that has been rescued, salvaged, or delivered from absurd, illogical, or highly emotional thoughts. So it's interesting, even as you know, you're doing your lead-in monologue, Rob, about the spirit of the age, the lateness of the hour, and that very particular word that you use, perilous times. Perilous, or to be in peril, isn't a word that we use that often anymore. in our English lexicon. But if you look up the synonyms of what it means to be in peril, it is not good. Let's just deal with it Barney style. It is not good that it is perilous times. And notice what the scriptures are saying, that in the end days, at the end of days, at the coming of the Lord, all these scriptures reference in it talks about the traumatic experiences that are going to befall humanity spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Yet Christ has spoken without any ambiguity that what he's given us is a mind that is sophroneo, a mind that has been rescued, salvaged, and delivered from any absurd, illogical, or highly emotional thoughts. So even as we today, as we cover the different aspects of the lateness of the hour and the peril that is upon the face of the earth, let not the listeners forget what mind you have in Christ. When it says we have the mind of Christ, it's not kidding. That is a huge deal that unfortunately most of us don't walk by faith to actually rightly appropriate to have the mind of Christ. When he says that he's given us power to trample upon the lion and the scorpion, or lion and serpent, depending on which verse you're using a reference, and that, and over all the powers of darkness, and nothing by any means will harm us, he's not kidding. When he says that betrayers are going to betray and men are going to wax worse and worse, he wasn't kidding either. But when he says that those who know their God will be strong and go forth and do daring feats of valor, hello, sign me up, Daniel 11:32. He wasn't kidding either. And so even as we didactically are, working through some of the different nuances of where we're at, just don't forget, beloved, don't forget, listeners, what mind you've commanded to have in Christ is sophroneo. And by the way, just as a plug for my buddy, go support sophroneo, sophroneo.com. And he's selling these awesome chest packs for all your primary emergency kit type stuff that you can wear with you. I wear mine probably 3 days a week. I have it on. So anyways, just a quick plug for my buddy Brady. But okay, yeah, Rob.
Jamie.
Go ahead.
Slow down. First of all, spell that so we can put that website up on the screen.
Sophroneo. Let's see. S. I don't know. It's Greek. S O P H. Sophroneo. Sophroneo.
.com.
Yeah, .com. And he has them available on Amazon. He's an awesome young guy with a young family trying to get a business up and going and honor the Lord. So. Yeah, it's been pretty cool. So
okay. Well, the second thing I wanted you to do is, if you would, slow it down and give us that definition one more time, because that was really cool.
Yeah. Sophroneo in the Greek. It means a mind that has been rescued, salvaged, or delivered from absurd, illogical, or highly emotional thoughts. Sophroneo. So it is a very powerful word when you think about the nuanced nature of it. Like, there's a lot compacted into the definition of that one little word, of that this is the mind that you have. And again, remember the qualifier at the beginning of that verse is that you have not been given a spirit of fear, which even that, it's like you could spend a lifetime studying. So fear is spiritual. So fear is a spirit. What is this spirit of fear? What is it putting on you? Or what's it doing to you? How is it aligning your eyesight? How is it changing your ears with auditory exclusion? What's it doing to the focus of your body, the focus of your energy? What's it doing physiologically at a hormonal level when fear is being put onto a people, you know? And so to say that I've not given you that spirit, but I've given you this whole other aspect of who I am, you know, it just, he reaffirms it over and over again. The Lord does, even in 1 John 4, you know, about that God is love, and where there is love, there is no fear. And where you fear, you have not been perfected by God's love. It makes me think too of, is it Philippians 1? No, I think it's 1 Peter. Maybe. Yeah, 1 Peter. No, Philippians. It says, I eagerly expect and hope that in no way will I be ashamed, but that now as always, I will have sufficient courage so that Christ will be exalted in me, whether by life or by death. And then it goes on a little bit later there in Philippians 1, and it says, so do not be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. In any way, do not have any fear. Do not be frightened in any way. And it gives the qualifier on why this is important, that you should always have an expectation of courage. It says, because it will be assigned to them, to the ruling elite, to the powers of darkness, to the wicked, to the whatever, that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. So the scriptures are constantly speaking to the spirit that we are supposed to walk in. And there is actually a war of spirits going on in real time. There's only two spirits that you can choose from to inhabit the throne of your heart: the spirit of Christ or the spirit of Antichrist. There is no other middle ground. There's no other choices to choose from. You must have one spirit on the throne of your heart, either Antichrist or the spirit of Christ. What's funny, Rob, is most Christians will go, well, absolutely, Christ is on my heart. And I always think, like, you know, being tactful and kind about it, like, well, let's test that. So let's test all the attributes of the spirit of the age. Let's test the attributes of the spirit of Antichrist. Let's test the attributes of a love of the world and the things of the world versus the attributes of the fruit of the spirit and of the fruit of Christ and the spirit of Christ and the wisdom of Christ. You can do a parallel side-by-side comparison. And most of us, myself included, it is woeful to realize how often, how frequently we can entertain the spirit of Antichrist versus the spirit of the one true Christ. So it's all interconnected, and it's powerfully good to know.
Well, you're absolutely right, Jamie. Fear can be paralyzing, can it? And it can really mess up the plans that the Lord has for us. It can mess up our walk with him. It can mess us up really bad. So that's why we're instructed not to fear so many times. But having said that, I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about the last days, the end times. Do you believe we are in the last days or the end times as we read in scripture? Or are we just going through another cycle of demonic deception here on earth?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rob, especially with the follow-on qualifier question, because it is really easy to either hyper-sensationalize to one way or be ultra-dismissive the other way, to say, it's just a normal cycle, ebbs and flows, bad governments, bad leaders, wars, all that kind of stuff.
We've always had wars and rumors of wars and evil men deceiving and being deceived. It's, you know, for every preacher that says we're in the last days, there's another one that says, you know, we're not. So
yeah,
help us out here.
Yeah, it is. And so I understand that perspective, that resonates with me, that this is just another cycle. It's just a bad cycle in humanity, or it's just another crumbling empire. The United States is just going the way of many, many empires that have ever gone before us. But this thing could go on another several of thousands of years or whatever the case is. But for me personally, And I believe that this can be backed up biblically, scripturally, academically, empirically, and objectively as well, too, that we are in the last of the last days. And I say that from several different perspectives. Although there has always been unique traumas that humanity has faced, throughout the history of the humanity, what we have right now is a unique convergence of things on a level that has never been seen, since the flood. Like when we're talking antediluvian world pre-flood, there's been tenets of it before. But what's unique about this time is what we have for the first time ever in the history of humanity is a counterfeit omniscience and omnipresence through technology to actually create a globally centralized hive mind of Neuralink based biometrically identifiable synced threat fusion centers, literally linked to your DNA. And then with all the concentric infrastructure built up off of that for a total counterfeit omniscience and omnipresence. And
where every thought of every man was the only evil all the time.
Yep. And where they, being the powers of darkness and operating through men, right, through mankind, they have the ability now to actually know every single thing about you at all times. Most people don't think it's capable. Then you don't understand threat fusion centers. And you don't understand social credit scores. You don't understand what's actually going on social media apps and through the different apps or through the cell phones, that every type, every text, every image, everything you look at, everything you swipe, how many milliseconds you stare at one picture, the next, every little detail is being cataloged. And there actually is a dossier on virtually every human being on the face of the earth. So they have achieved counterfeit omniscience and counterfeit omnipresence through technology, which that infrastructure must be there before the next stage. And the next stage will be the shared collective traumatic experience on a global level that has never been seen. Never been seen. World War One, World War Two can't put a candle to it. You know, there's been other significant traumas throughout the history of humanity, and none of them compared to World War One or World War Two. When you look at the vileness and the visceralness of it and the loss of life and how many aspects of our corporeal reality were intertwined with those major wars. But what's coming next is going to make those look like a walk in the park. And so once they have that completed, now you have the perfect terraforming of the psychosis, for lack of a better word, of the entirety of the human population, and the infrastructure for what comes next is already done. So when I talk about this stuff, we're not talking future tense. We're not talking about it's in a think tank or it's in development or they're working out the kinks in it. It's a done deal. They rolled this out 20 plus years ago, and they have been refining the data through the metadata, through the technologies in other countries, in particular China, with their social credit score, to beta test it, to work it all out, so that when they loose it onto the Western-centric nations that have more of a self-reliance or independent, you know, republic-based or democratic-based governments, more of a willingness to push back against tyranny in that way, that by the time they roll it out on the West, it'll already be perfected and there will be no holes in it whatsoever. So this thing is a done deal. It is just completely finished and literally waiting. So now you can see the deck being stacked with the necessary succession of events to get to the point where it is the full blown end of the age. So in short, I unequivocally believe we are in the last of the last days, that the time of sorrows is nearing its end. I believe we've been in the time of sorrows for about the last 80 years, or even you can even go back a little bit further than that, the beginning of the Industrial Revolution in the late 1800s and the early 1900s has been the initiation of the time of sorrows. Then you have, all the precursors to that and what came out of World War One with the League of Nations to lead us right into World War Two to get the United Nations. So then they can get us to World War Three and get the globalized, centralized government under one head, one government with one ruling class over all the face of the earth. It's been a very strategic succession of events. And right smack in the middle of that is the rebirthing of Israel, the reoccupation of Jerusalem by the Jews, the rebirthing or reanimation of a Hebraic language, a language that was thought to be dead, all the way up into the point of today, where all the countries listed in both the Psalm 83 war, as well as Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, are currently poised to converge on Jerusalem, the same Jerusalem that's currently poised to start sacrificing red heifers so they can consecrate the new Temple Mount, the same Jerusalem that former President Trump, most likely soon to be future President Trump, has braggadociously talked about the art of the deal that he worked out 6+ years ago through the Abraham Accords and the Kushner family to create a two-state solution with the sharing of the Temple Mount to the rebuilding of the third temple, the very temple that the Antichrist will arise within and proclaim himself to be God, and that there is no God but him. after a global traumatic World War III, where one quarter, then one third, it goes on, of the world's population is slaughtered post haste, global hyperinflationary collapse, a new centralized ruling government, a new centralized currency, a new centralized counterfeit omniscience and omnipresence, and all of it will be based out of that place in Jerusalem where everything is already done. It's all done. They're just waiting for the right catalyst to initiate the next salvo, which will be the actual tribulation.
Let's put that map up on the screen there, John, if you can. And Jamie, maybe walk us through what you see happening in the coming months.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just looking at the map here, most people, you know, a lot of times we don't have a good spatial awareness of what's going on and where. But even if you move up to the way north and you look at Russia and you look at Russia's neighboring border and who they're actually connected to, you know, from Georgia down into Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan, which has major, major lithium mines and mineral mines that China's actively trying to work within. Same with Uzbek and Turkmenistan. Then you come into Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey. All of these nations are currently in alliance to come against Israel. And some maps don't quite do it justice, but when you look at North Africa and also East Africa, the Horn of Africa, with Ethiopia, Eritrea, Sudan, Morocco, Egypt, we're all pretty much familiar with Egypt and Algeria, these other North African nations, they all too have created bilateral military alliances with Russia, China, and Iran, along with Turkey, who's getting ready to turncoat on NATO at any given time, along with Syria and Iraq. The Saudis are always in kind of an outlier. Jordan and Saudi Arabia and Oman are always outliers as far as what role they play. We have some inferences biblically on what they're going to play, but you can look at this entirety of this region on the map in real time that's on your screen, and every single one of those nations right now is fully mobilized for World War III and a limited nuclear exchange between superpowers and the convergence upon Jerusalem proper. So you have two things going on at the same time. You have the power play between West and East, right? Russia, China, Iran alliance and all their axis against the West, right? US, NATO, and their allies. But then you also have a secondary component of the Middle Eastern centric nations, which are poised in alliance to come against little sliver Israel. From even this map that's on your screen, you pretty much can't even see Israel. That's how tiny it is. It's the size of the state of Connecticut, I believe, is the closest size that we can reference in our reality, is the size of the state of Connecticut. And all these nations are converging. What's interesting prophetically is that we know that Damascus is going to be utterly destroyed and become a lay waste. So think about that in context with Syria. We know Philistia, which is Gaza, Philistia is going to be utterly waylaid. This is all throughout Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah, all these different prophetic words. Nahum speaks specifically about this as well, too. You know, when you're looking at even Erbil and Mosul, Mosul is ancient Nineveh, which is interesting given the fact that Mosul slash Nineveh is the hotbed for all of ISIS and different aspects of Al-Qaeda. We know that they're going to be laid waste. And then you have all the different nations of Turkey are what were what would be the word, like states, for lack of a better word, in Turkey, which are specifically listed in Ezekiel 38 and 39 as being some of the primary territories from which the troops come against Israel and pretty much obliterate Israel all the way into Jerusalem before God finally arises on their behalf and testifies to the whole world that he alone is God. Right now, Ukraine has lost 650,000 troops out of their 800,000. Think about these. What's going on in Russia and Ukraine it breaks my heart. I pray for the Russians and I pray for the Ukrainians. I can't imagine the bloodshed and loss of life that's gone on over there. But all of that is the United States of America. There is currently a renewed genocide going on in Armenia, which is being stoked by the United States of America. Iran, at the behest of the United States, is going to attack Iran. I mean, Israel, at the behest of the United States, is going to attack Iran this year. It's a certainty. There's not a single geopolitical or military intelligence analyst who doesn't say that. They say it is a certainty. Why? Because China gets a large lion's share of their energy from Iran. So it's about war against China. But the same thing's going on in the South China Sea with Taiwan. Same thing's going on with China just breaching Japan's airspace last night. They had a, I think it was a bomber, maybe it was an intelligence gathering aircraft, I can't remember, that broke Japanese airspace for the first time ever since World War II. First time ever. We have a submarine that popped up in the Gulf right off the coast of Texas a couple days ago to give the big middle finger to the U.S. intelligence community, saying we can hit you anytime we want. It's happened off the West Coast. It's happened off the East Coast. Russian, Chinese, and North Korean subs are all around us right now, poised and waiting for attack. I talked to a general, command staff general, not too long ago. He said that there are, by his estimates, 1.2 million Chinese fighting force inside the United States waiting for zero day or day X to occur. 1.2 million Chinese troops actively pre-staged all across the U.S. for day X, when they are going to create so much havoc and chaos that the entirety of the United States of America is done overnight, in an instant, in a single hour, in a single day, just like the scripture says. And then all these nations are going to move on their strategic targets. But they have to eliminate the United States of America first. And so everybody, the guys that I listen to and follow, and the guys that I talk to, they are making preparations and plans in ways that they never even thought feasible. Because they're like, it's a certainty. They don't speak with possibility. They don't speak with, let me just analyze the data and look at it. Like, they're no longer, they're like making hard, fast moves, as hard and as fast as they can, because they are true and they're in the know. I'm not. I just get told certain things. I'm not in the know. I'm not directly connected to anything. I have no direct primary source. Everything I get is OSINT, open source intelligence, or, you know, from guys that are in the know. They say that this thing is a foregone certainty conclusion. There are movements being made in Central and South America. There's movements being made on our islands and the island nations all over the face of the world. There's things going on in Hawaii that most people can't comprehend. There's things going on in the islands of Japan and the islands off of Taiwan. And there are things happening, not in like future tense, as in they're already a step, like they're in play. The logistics are in place, the material and the technology and the electrical grid infrastructure for forward operating bases and the fuel and the water purification. Most people think that war, they only understand war is when they hear a gunshot or a bomb explode. That's not war. War is 98% logistics intelligence. 98% logistics and intelligence. By the time you hear a snap, a crack, or a boom, it's already too late. And so that's why, with our Western centric kind of limited, narrow mentality, you know, our sound biting mentality, we can't comprehend how late the hour is because we haven't heard a boom yet, or we don't see a cloud, a head of smoke in the distance. So we go, everything's good. It's not good. In an instant, that in a single day, the in a single hour is beating down our doors and nobody's paying attention to it, Rob.
Well, from what I can see and understand, it appears to me like the U.S. is stirring up every one of these situations.
Every single one.
Every single one. I mean, we're behind every one. The trillions of dollars that our politicians have laundered through Ukraine alone, has prolonged that situation years past what it could have possibly been. So, and our politicians are getting rich off it.
Yeah, and Rob, that goes to the mystery Babylon. That's Revelation 18, exactly what we're talking about. It, you know, a haunt and hideout for every foul and unclean spirit. You know, Jeremiah 50:51 talks about mystery Babylon being the hammer in all the earth. It talks about, you know, our usury, how we have exploited all the nations of the earth, how we've put bloodshed in all the nations of the earth, how the slain of all the earth are going to be held accountable for the slain of all the earth, how we deceive the world with our pharmakia, how we lap up just licentiousness and luxury at the expense of everybody else on the face of the earth in a way that the history of humanity has never seen. We know there's been all kinds of mega empires that were wicked, right? From Sumer to Phoenicia to Babylon, Egypt, you know, the no-brainer ones, the Greco-Roman empires, you know, even the Mongols and the Eurasian empires, the Scandinavians. There's been so many that have come and gone. Macedonians, I'm thinking of. But there's never one like the United States of America. And everybody knows it except for, guess who, Rob? The Americans. The Americans exactly. Are the only one that don't understand who America is, because it's all strategic. It's strategic denial. It's strategic deception. It's strategic everything. We are the only ones that don't know who we are. I spent the majority of my young adult life living overseas, and every single person on the face of the earth, it doesn't matter what their ethnic or cultural or national identity is, they all know exactly who the United States of America is. You talk to any American, they have no clue who we are. They think that we're this city on a hill, bright, shining, sending out more missionaries than anywhere else, terraforming the earth with good, with democracy and blah, blah, blah. They have no clue that every genocide since the late 1800s has been propagated by the United States of America. I don't care if it was Pol Pot. I don't care if it was Stalin. I don't care if it was Zedong. I don't care if it was Rwanda with the Hutu and the Tutsis. That was all the Clinton State Department. I don't care if it was Bosnia, Herzegovina, and Serbia. That was Clinton and the State Department. I mean, it does. People don't even know what's going on right now in Nigeria or Rwanda or Uganda. Like, we have no concept what's going on in Venezuela right now and Guyana. We overthrow government after government after government and get the people to slaughter one another so that we can glean, we can come in and mop up with our Babylonian money magic system and just devour the face of the earth. Most people don't know that in order to receive aid from the United States of the United States government, you must implement both abortion and LGBT policy at a national level. You must legislate it if you want aid from the United States of America.
Can you repeat that? Because I quoted that once and got a lot of flack for it.
Of course, because it's an inconvenient truth. It's an inconvenient truth. And all that was actually implemented under the Obama administration. So, you know, people can be haters and push back all they want, but it's just plain
I would assume with the exception of the Islamic countries that would not go for the LGBT stuff or the abortion of their own children.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So again, most people don't understand, you know, our number one export is pornography. You know, our number two export is pharmakia. Our number three, I'm getting the order mixed up. And the other one is children. I just spoke at a thing this weekend with you probably know Craig Sawman Sawyer and a couple other people, Vets for Child Rescue, very, very active. Have a lot of influence in the counter child sex trafficking and anti-trafficking world. And it was a gala event. So there was people from multiple different organizations that are actively engaged in that world and fighting against that wickedness, who they said this weekend that it is the number one export and we are the number one exporter and consumers of children on the face of the earth, the United States of America. Wow. So again, when I'm talking about what comes next, you know, most people don't have the paradigm for it because they're Pollyanna in their nationalistic identity. Now, I'm not knocking being patriotic and having a nationalistic identity. I'm a Marine. I've been a police officer. I've been a firefighter. I've been a paramedic. I've been a public servant. My entire life has been about promoting the welfare civilly and the civics of this nation. That's been my, so you can't say that I'm not patriotic or I'm anti-America or whatever.
Well, but the people are not the government. That's the
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
And all of these countries that we're looking at, I have nothing against anyone from Iran or Persia. And they have nothing against anyone here. It's the governments behind it doing it.
I actually recently had a Persian brother come over here to the property. Born and raised in Iran and all Persian family. He was there during the Islamic Revolution, the overthrow of the Shah and the implementation of theocracy. And he is radiant in Christ Jesus. And the way he speaks about the Iranians and their family and their culture and their nice identity, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's powerful. I just saw a thing 3 days ago that apparently I think it's a million Iranian Christians are currently actively interceding for that nation to throw off their wicked Islamic regime, to stave off what's going on with Israel and the West and everything else, because they just want to live at peace. And by the way, the United States of America is the one who overthrew the Shah and put in a theocratic Islamic regime, just like we did in Libya, just like we did in Iraq, just like we did in Sudan, just like we did in Ethiopia. We do the same thing because theocratic governments are easier to control than democratic governments. So we put in radical Islamists so that we can manipulate them, because ultimately they all end up becoming money-hungry warlords, and they're very easy to control. So, yeah.
Why don't we take this opportunity? Anybody in the audience have any questions or comments for Jamie? Now's your chance. Raise your hand. Well, I can't believe we have such a quiet group. No comments. Okay, well, I guess we'll move on. So what's your take on England, the situation in England with the civil unrest they're having there?
Yeah, they were talking about that 30 years ago, what they were going to do, how they were going to flood the West Europe in particular, and even the British Isles with immigrants to destroy their national identity so that it would be easier for them to acquiesce and come underneath the global government. They also forecasted that that's the same thing they were going to the United States of America just before they were ready to do the big transition towards a centralized global government and a centralized economy, that they were going to let down the borders. They were going to completely eviscerate national identity, destroy any national sovereignty, pit people against each other based on race, color, ethnicity, socioeconomic background, whatever your status in life is, anything imaginable. They were going to stoke the fires, pit everybody against each other, flood the borders, eviscerate the national identity, so that when the U.S. is attacked from without, because they're allowed to from within, that there would be no mounted defense. And then the U.S., as the last bastion of independence, self-reliance, nationalistic identity on the face of the earth, would automatically have to come under global government. So all this is going exactly according to plan. There is nothing happening in a vacuum. There's nothing happening that's organic or populist uprising or even just natural decay of moral or cultural identity. None of it's natural. It's all being strategically fomented. So
you know, it's easy to see they're like going down the list and checking off their to-do list. And
they really are.
When you talk about countries being invaded and the mass migration happening in Europe and really all over the world. And we see what's happening here in the U.S. A lot of people just think it's the southern border, it's also the northern border pretty badly, but people don't realize it's also Hawaii. When they burned down Lahaina last year, we did an interview with a guy that lives there, and he mentioned that there are continuous, constant flights of illegals from all different countries being flown into Hawaii and resettled in Hawaii. So it's not just a border thing. It's a worldwide destroy the Western culture.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was corresponding with a Hawaiian the other day as well too, and he said he did his own statistical research from the Hawaiian Chamber of Commerce, because he's a business owner. I don't remember which island he's on, and he noticed that there was a 70-100% increase in Chinese tourists, but there was a 35% reduction in spending. So he said tourism is through the roof and they're all Chinese, but none of them are spending money. So what are they doing there? And he said the Chinese are all over the islands and they're infiltrating and taking over businesses and business places. And he said they're actually like an occupying force because they are not assimilating. They're not spending money. They're not doing whatever. They're literally coming in and staging and occupying. Now, to the listener, they go, what's the big deal? It's Hawaii. It's way out there in the middle of the Pacific. Well, Hawaii and U.S. PAC fleet, the Pacific fleet and the 7th fleet, is the most strategic eyes and ears of U.S. military intelligence assets that we have is the Hawaiian Islands. They are the singular most significant early warning sign for anything coming from the east. All the signals intelligence, even deep space penetrating stuff, missile testing ranges, high level stuff. A lot of it near Lahaina, right by Lahaina, which just so happened to get obliterated by fire. I mean, I remember talking about that when it happened, that was a strategic allowed by our deep state attack by China to take out our eyes and ears so they could create a forward operating base for resupply to secure the supply lines from the east to the U.S. West Coast, where they're going to do an amphibious assault. That they talk about it openly. Listen, it's not sensational. I'm not being hyperbolic. They talk about it. They talk about landing in the Long Beach Harbor. They talk about landing in the Columbia River Gorge. They talk about the armored brigades that are staged on Vancouver Island. I talked to a guy about 3 or 4 weeks ago now in Alaska that said there are hundreds of thousands of Chinese troops and some Russian, but majority Chinese in Alaska, and nobody's doing anything about it. And they're trying to mobilize as a state because the federal government won't do anything about it to actually repel a Chinese invasion that is already underway, and nobody's doing anything about it.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you, but I do wonder why China would want to attack the United States. Because it seems to me, just maybe I'm short-sighted, seems to me we're the only ones buying all their junk.
I'll tell you why. They talk about it in their white papers. Yeah, they
economically
say
it seems like counterintuitive for them to attack us.
It's actually they talk about it in their white papers, and they are scared to death of a populist uprising because they cannot feed their people. And their economy is insolvent. It's actually from some, don't quote me on this, this is just paraphrasing, but from some of the economic data that I've read, is China is three times beyond insolvent than what the United States is. And I thought we were the worst ones in the world as far as a completely smoke and mirror economy that's in free fall collapse, and yet nobody even knows it. China, from the economic data, is three times beyond that. And they are scared to death of the populist uprising because of the size of their population. So the strategic purpose of the entirety of the United States of America is Midwestern farmland and California-based agriculture. They must have the land. They have to have it. They talk about it all the time. Even their shipping fleets that they're building to be able to send farmers. I've read white papers where they want to, over the course of 9 months, displace what there's like 328 million Americans. They want to displace, as in genocide, as many as they can. And they already have a lottery based system where they have pre-selected Chinese citizens with the proper skill sets to come in and reoccupy the United States mainland with 300 million Chinese citizens over the course of a 9 month period. So that's farm, that's ag, that's water treatment plants, that's, you know, your electrical engineers for your power grid, keeping all that in place, keeping everything up and running, because they must have the food so that they don't get overthrown by their own people. That's what the all the analysts and the white papers coming out of China read. So,
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Anyone have any questions or comments? Raise your hand at any point. Mike, come on in. Michael? Oh, I guess he must have pushed the button by accident. Okay.
Well, it happens.
If you change your mind, you want to say something, just push your button and we'll bring you in. So, Jamie, when do you think, what's the timeline? Here we are, the end of August. You know, we've got the election coming up in November, September, October. We've got like 2 months before that happens. I guess, why don't we take this? What do you think is going to happen internally in the U.S.? And then what do you think is going to happen worldwide? And what's the timeline?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, this is just straight speculation, right? I always give that qualifier. We don't know. So
you're not a prophet.
Yeah, exactly. So this is speculation, but I say it's informed speculation. I believe that Donald Trump is unequivocally going to be reelected, that everything else is a smokescreen. I actually anticipate the Democrats polling Harris at the 11th hour, and they're going to prop up one or two people, believe it or not. I believe Dwayne the Rock Johnson, because he's been directly approached by the DNC to run as a presidential candidate. If any people are familiar with him, which strategically I can understand and make sense. The other one is Big Mike Obama. I mean, Michelle Obama. Did I say that out loud? That Big Mike will be the other one that the DNC try to put up at the 11th hour. But I do believe that Donald Trump will be handily reelected, and that's strategic. Secondary to that, you will get civil unrest in a way that we haven't seen since the late 50s, early 60s. Cities burning, multiple cities burning. I'm not saying full-blown civil war. I'm saying full-blown civil unrest, like unrestrained civil unrest. And that's the intent, again, as an asymmetric aspect of softening the national identity before a kinetic invasion.
You must be reading my articles.
is that your speculation too?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's
right down to Big Mike.
Yeah. I mean, which is okay. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. I had no idea that that's what you're saying. I'm like, I see the data and I understand the mystery schools and the occultism behind this and where they're taking us somewhere. So just looking at it from that lens, kind of that's what I see. I do believe that we will be we're already in World War III. Unfortunately, the American populace doesn't understand it. Every other nation in the world is preparing, like they have retooled their economies for war. They have retooled their infrastructure for war. They're actively preparing their citizens for war. This is even all across Europe. I can't say that. That's overgeneralization. Almost every nation on the face of the earth currently, right now, from every aspect of logistics to technology to energy and energy supplies to food, beans, bullets, band-aids, you name it, they're all preparing their citizenry for nuclear war. Every nation on the face of the earth, except for the United States of America, because our leaders actually want us to be completely obliterated. They want our population to be reduced because they have a bigger play in mind. So I believe that Trump is going to be put in office. He's been pre-selected. And once he's in office, a few short months afterwards, you're going to see the initiation of global cataclysms that we haven't seen for a very long time. World War III will become overt. You won't have to wonder anymore what's going on. It will be overt. I believe there will be a limited nuclear exchange by some superpowers, but the American populace won't even be fazed by that. They are going to pull the plug on the global economy while Trump's in office and place it on his head. Israel unequivocally is going to strike Iran with the U.S. backing, which is why one third of our entire Navy is off the coast of Israel right now. Think about that. Or in the Middle East. One third of our Navy.
Going to happen after the election?
After the, I think Iran will happen before it, but it'll fester. And then the big, like, oh, crap stuff won't come till after the inauguration. By the way, study the word, what it means to be an augur or to be inaugurated. It's highly occultic. Everything about the United States of it. The fact that we call it a capital is occultic. It's all they're taking us somewhere very strategically. So in short, Rob, this is just my gut. And I keep praying through it and I can't shake it. 18 months. I just came in. 18 months is what the spirit of the living God keeps impressing on me. You have 18 months of relative normalcy, if you call our reality normal. You have 18 months and then it's a done deal. It's full blown biblical outpouring of all the things that we have been foretold and forewarned are going to take place. Hmm. And I don't have anything in particular to back that. It's just, that's what the Holy Spirit's been impressing on me as I read the word, as I look at the world, read the word, look at the world, 18 months.
Okay, Michael, that's your end up.
Okay, I apologize, fellas, for the first go around. I had some microphone issues. I have really two questions. The first one revolves around, and maybe I missed it, when the United States is taken over within 1 hour, Mystery Babylon is taken over in an hour. Do you believe that's a nuclear strike, or is it just, you know, different countries taking over the United States? And my second question, which is probably even more important, is I like to educate myself on these things. So I also listen to Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman and all the folks, and just try to soak it all in. And I try to share this information with my wife as well. And, you know, she can only take so much of this. And so I guess I'm looking for, what approach should I take in trying to share this information with my family and especially my wife?
Yeah, that's a good question. So let me try to answer the first one first, and then we'll deal with that. But as far as the single day, single hour, I do believe that there'll be very limited nuclear use. And the reason why I say limited nuclear use is, again, because you want the soil. Most people don't understand what happens if even one of our nuclear power plants cooks off. That cannot be afforded. That's why I don't subscribe to the EMP type scenario. I'm very well aware of EMP. I'm very well aware of the EMP commissions and all their findings and the strategic vulnerabilities of our power grid.
They need our infrastructure intact.
Yep. But you don't strategically, tactically EMP a nation like this, knowing and understanding the fallout that comes with a cascade collapse of your critical infrastructure and the nuclear power plants. This land would never be inhabited again, and that's not what they're interested in. They want the land. They just don't want the people on the land. So I believe that the single day, single hour, the smoke arising from all of our cities, that there may be a few strategic cities because of the population infrastructure that are hit. But even to that degree, the majority of them, I don't believe will be because of the port system. Again, most people don't think logistics. They think war. War is not the explosion stuff is so minimal in a war. It's logistics. You need the ports. You need the trains. You need the transport. You need the highways. You need the byways. You need the electrical grid. You need the power structure. When I was a part of taking Baghdad in 2003 for the march up, and we strategically made sure that we did not damage any of the critical infrastructure on our way to Baghdad because we needed to keep our troops in action, right? But I do subscribe to the depth of cyber attack and cybernetics being the way that they pull things offline. They allow the cities to go into total chaos. They allow us to slaughter one another. By their standards, they say for about 6 weeks to 3 months to allow us to slaughter one another. They have projections of 200 million dead in that time frame. And then they bring the power back online selectively, and they have their troops in place to occupy, to cordon and occupy the central aspects of the United States of America. So that's what I see playing out. As far as how to, you know, lovingly and tactfully speak these things to your wife, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. The Bible is very clear. It says, to those with ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is speaking. We know even in the days of Lot, and I'm not speaking this over your wife at all. Please understand that. I'm just using it as an analogy. But like in the days of Lot, even when an angel of the Lord came to them, warning them, get out now. He couldn't quite get his wife to let go of their idea of the world and the things of the world and the pleasure of the Lord. Her paradigm couldn't take it. It was fracturing her mind, where she was compulsed to long for that, what she thought was normalcy. Didn't want to hear it, didn't want to know about it. Same thing in the days of Noah. Warning, warning, warning. 100 years plus strategically warning about the effects of what were going to come, what was going to happen, why it was going to happen, but that you could have a source of security and hope in Christ, the true and better ark, alone, and yet nobody listened. So I don't know. All we can do is do our due diligence with love and compassion and tenderness, not overlording, not overbearing, not condemning, not pointing a finger, not trying to shove people forward or not standing out in front of them pointing back, but to lovingly, with the heart of God, try to warn people and wake them up. And unfortunately, we just have to entrust the outcome of that sincere, pure effort to the Lord. I don't know why some people wake up and other people don't. All we can do is do our due diligence to honor the Lord with what he's allowed us to be forewarned of. Christ Jesus was all about warning. He said, I've told you about these things ahead of time so that you will not be caught unaware. I've told you about these things ahead of time. I told you about these things ahead of time. He's constantly saying, you're once in darkness, now you're in light. So act like it, like you're not in darkness about these things. When sudden destruction, 1 Thessalonians 5, but you're not in darkness so that day the Lord should come upon you while you're unaware. So he's all about adequately, properly, practically preparing his people for what's coming next. Unfortunately, very few will heed the warning.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Jamie, for some people, what you have shared with us today is going to be very bad news. But for those who are Christ followers, it's very good news, isn't it?
And amen.
Again, no reason to fear. We have not been given that spirit.
Yep. Sophroneo. I think about that word all the time. Sophroneo. I know it's a weird, cumbersome Greek word, but man, it's awesome.
Figure out how it's spelled so we can find it.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it. Everybody go to omegadynamics.org. That's Jamie's website. And from there, you can... Let me look. You can get to the Calico Buffalo Base Camp. I know there's a button there. There you go. And that's a really cool place you got to check out in Durango, Colorado. So thank you, Jamie, for being here. Dr. Mike's going to be here hosting the show next week while I return to newspapering, and then we'll be on the road. But I'll be back after that with Mark Sutherland, Doug Hagman, Shram Hadian, John Guandolo, and Alex Newman, to name just a few. So we'll see you soon. Till then, God bless, and have a great night.